The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Welcome into the Chicago Bears Network Studios here at Halas Hall, and this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We are pleased tonight to be joined by a man celebrating his one-month anniversary as a Chicago Bear. Would you please welcome Bears punt returner and kickoff returner extraordinaire Mark Mariani.
Yeah, that I've been here for a month, man. Thank you. Thank you. Time flies.
Yes, it does.
It does. These days are evaporating.
We are also joined, as we always are, by WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, but not just that, the former Super Bowl Bear. Tom Thayer, everybody. Welcome, Tom, into the show. And if I don't sound like Zach Zabin, it means I'm not Zach Zabin. For the second straight week, he thinks he has a DePaul basketball game that's more important than this. So I'm pinch hitting for him once again.
I told him he did a great job, and I told him he's on the cusp.
Right.
I said he's walking very fragile ground not being here.
If we slam dunk this one or spike this one,
to Mark.
Okay.
You know, he has a chance to make you look good or bad in this evening show for 1 hour.
Willie Young set the bar high last week.
There will be a detailed evaluation of your performance after this show.
We'll look over the film and the tape on
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
And we also want to welcome our studio audience. You've heard them applauding before and after here from the University of Phoenix. Welcome, guys. Give yourself a hand, too. Thanks for joining us here. Appreciate it. And if you don't applaud coming in out of a break, we're going to send Mark full speed into one of the tables
That's so, right. Head first.
So, Mark, welcome in, and congratulations, by the way, on the one-month anniversary.
Yeah, thank you.
But you were waiting around for almost 3 months. What was waiting for that call like, and what was it like when you finally got that call?
Well, that was an interesting process. I've been through some ups and downs in my career, but this was my first time that I have been unemployed, and kind of looking for a job. And it's different. It's a frustrating process. Everything that you can do to help yourself is basically done. So you're sitting on the couch with no control of any situation, and it was one of those things where I was just always looking and looking for the best opportunity and hoping, and I've said this before, but the Chicago Bears were at the top of my list and have been since the season started, and when that call came through, I was just overjoyed. I was stoked. I was excited to get up here and get to work.
You have over 3,000 return yards, correct, in your career?
He's been counting.
He's got his calculator.
3,000. I looked it up today. But anyways, that's what I'm saying. You got over 3,000 yards in returns, and then you're sitting at home and you're watching returners that they don't bring to the game what you do. So what do? You just keep searching out there? Do you keep letting people know that, look, I'm available, I'm active, I'm playing, and I'm ready?
Yeah, I think the GMs these days are pretty savvy about having their list of guys that they have, and that's the agent comes in and does the behind-the-scenes stuff. I wish I could cold call all these guys and just tell them, but, I think my health was a little bit of a question at first. I've been beat up a little bit, but I'm sitting on the couch on Sundays, for the first time, and it's not where I wanted to be. I have a very different perspective now because I had it taken away from me. I had the game taken away, and now I'm just just excited and grateful for the opportunity, and I'm going to make the most of it.
We'll get into some of the particulars of those ups, physical ups and downs.
That's
over
right,
the course
yeah.
of your career during the next hour or so here on Bears All Access. What were your emotions when were you among the final cuts it down to 53 by the Titans earlier
yeah,
this summer?
Yeah, I mean, that was a different experience as well. You bust your butt and you go through OTAs and training camps and all the camps, and you get to the end, and it's a fiery competition all the way through, and you don't make the cut, and for a bunch of different reasons, but they went a different way. You just got to pick up the pieces and get back to work. I think this game is a lot more mentally tough than it gets credit for. You know, physically, people get looked at as you know, overcoming challenges, but mentally, it's a brutal thing to be, you know, have your career up in the air and not have any control. So it was tough for a minute there, but I couldn't be more excited to be where I'm at.
You know, you seem like a big fan of football to me. Tonight, Tennessee and Jacksonville play on TV. How do you watch that game as an evaluator of the Titans?
Go Jaguars!
As a football fan, or you know, how you gonna watch it?
You know what, I think you hit it dead on. I am a huge fan of this game. I have been forever, and you know, it is an honor for me to be a professional athlete and to play this game. And so mostly when I'm just watching on TV, I'm watching for fun. It'll be a little different for me tonight because a bunch of those guys are my buddies down there because I spent 4 years with the Titans. But I'm a huge fan. I have a lot of respect for, you know, my colleagues and some of the guys that do what I do around the league, and so it's fun to watch and it's exciting to see your buddies doing well too, so it'll be good.
Well, we don't want to ignore some of the news that happened around here today, and that was of course the word that Jay Cutler will in fact be the backup this week as the starting quarterback. Jimmy Clausen getting an opportunity in the home finale against the Detroit Lions. I know you have a little bit of a relationship with Jay. I know you played at his charity volleyball tournament over here during the summer. How far back do you go? And did you have a chance to talk to him today, or just want to keep some space to see how he's doing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, did that make the headlines? Were we in the papers today? Were we on the TV?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a very difficult situation, and you know, I think Coach Trestman hits it on the head. It's, you know, he's going to get the full microscope. He's going to be the one evaluated the most. Jay is, but we need to all look at ourselves and figure out a way to, you know, turn this thing around. But you know, I've been on some teams that haven't, you know, in Tennessee that, you know, haven't won, you know, like this toward the end of the year, and you know, it always ends up the same. You know, people are looking for, you know, something to fix or change. And you know, I think Jay's a phenomenal dude, man. I as a friend and as a teammate, he's been wonderful to me. You know, it's a tough situation, and I haven't, you know, sat him down and cornered him or anything, but I watched the press conference. I think he's handling it really well, and he's a true professional.
Certainly did, and we want to get some of Tom's thoughts on this and on Jimmy Clausen, another former Golden Domer. When we come back after this first time out, we'll also go into the Wayback Machine a little bit, the beginnings of Mark's journey here to Halisall as we take a break. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halisall on 670 The Score. We're here with the folks from University of Phoenix. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by Subway. Stop by your local Subway restaurant today and try a flavor-packed double meat sub from the Bears lineup, limited time only. Subway. Eat fresh. And we are back live in our Chicago Bears Network studios at Halisall on Bears All Access, joined by Bears kick returner and punt returner Mark Mariotti, along with the former Bear and analyst on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, Tom Thayer, joined by our audience as well here in studio from the University of Phoenix. And Tom, what were some of your thoughts today about when the news first got out yesterday, made official today, on the quarterback change, especially going with Jay as deep as they have into the season? He's the guy. He's the guy that the money was given to, too.
Yeah, you know, I think they had to make a decision, and it was going to be a difficult decision no matter what direction they went, because sometimes when you're trying to get a quarterback have better results, you're trying to get better results out of everybody else also. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is a good evaluation to put out there for the 10 other guys that play along with the quarterback to see if to make sure they're holding up holding up their end of the responsibility, making sure Jimmy Clausen is preparing along the order you need him to. I think Jay left the door open for the possibility that he could still come back here and flourish under Mark Trestman, but that's, I think, everybody's challenge that way throughout their career, because at some point in the time, you're always going to question yourself. And so I don't think that you should completely close the door on Jay Cutler being a part of the Bears' future. I think there's still a strict, heavy evaluation of a lot of guys in this football team that you have to go through until you make an ultimate final decision. So, you know, I've been benched myself during the regular season, the last regular season game, and then I started the next week in the playoffs. And when Coach Dick had told me that I was benched, it was devastating.
Yeah.
It was the most awful thing I've ever went through in a career, but I still continued to play, and I think I got better after that point, too.
Mark, you work with the wide receiver position group during practice. I'm sure you've caught some balls from Jimmy. Now it's in game action, and you've gotten a couple snaps within the regular offense here in your weeks here and there. I imagine it's a little different ball coming out of Jimmy's hands than Jay's hands, but they both bring different things to the table, too, right?
Well, you know, one thing I will say, you know, first off, is that Jimmy has prepared, even you know, obviously this week is on a new level, but he has prepared every week, you know, like he's starting, and that's not just cliche. I mean that. I mean, I've been really impressed, you know, of him as a backup, you know, just getting every mental rep and doing all the things. So I think he'll be very prepared, even though he hasn't had the live snaps. I think he'll be ready to go, and I think he, you know, will take advantage of this opportunity, you know, and help the team. But yeah, I mean, they're two different guys, and you know, in my book, they're both capable. So I'm excited for Jimmy.
Well, it's the same way with you. I mean, you got to prepare as if you're going to start. When Brandon went out, I'm sure you moved up a notch on that depth chart, and you know, the possibilities for even more snaps in game action at wide receiver picked up too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a crash course for me to learn the offense, which is, it's tough, but, it's one of those things. I'm the insurance man, so I don't want to be the guy that's holding anybody back. When I get out on the field, I want to know what I'm doing, and I want to be in the right spot and make the play when the ball comes my way. And, you know, that's just our mindset. That's, you know, kind of the way it is as kind of a backup at any position, is you just got to be ready. I know it firsthand, and you know, the next play you could be out there and you got to be ready to go. And like I said, you don't want to be the weak link.
Tom, I know you kept a close eye on Jimmy during his time at Notre Dame, and then the Bears actually played him his rookie year in Carolina. And it was a rough start for a rookie getting thrown into the mix right there as a second-round draft pick and all of a sudden starting right away. And is a different guy. He's had to sit and wait quite a while, battled through a couple of injuries of his own. From what you've seen in practice, give us a little scouting report on how things will be different with him out there and what he brings to the table.
You know, I think it's about his mental preparation. And that's it for any quarterback. If you're mentally prepared to go out there and implement the offense that you've been practicing, and one thing about offensive football, it's so repetitiously done. You have the reps behind you. You see the defense is what it's presenting you, and then you know how to use the play called. And I think if you go out there and he throws the ball on rhythm, he throws the ball into the area where he knows the defense is going to be vulnerable to, you know that if you can complement his responsibilities with enough of a running game to keep their defense off balance, he's capable of doing anything that we've ever seen a quarterback in this offense doing. I do think his expectations are raised because of what we saw out of Josh McCown. Josh never had the physical traits of the greatest quarterback in the NFL, but he knew the system well enough to use the system so efficiently. And that's what they want to see out of Jimmy Clausen, is being able to use the system efficiently that he's been studying. You know, he may go through some growing pains early in the game, but we want to see his throws being in the right spot and, you know, using the offense.
How much of a challenge is it going to be? The offensive line has a huge challenge as it is coming in against this Detroit Lions squad, and then having a guy with a little different cadence, perhaps, does that add to the challenge for the O-lineman?
You know what? You know, in 8 games a year, you own the snap count. 8 games a year, you earn the snap count. They're at home. They own the snap count. They're going to be able to hear the voice commands of Jimmy Clausen. Make sure everybody stays onside. I don't want 3 offside penalties in the course of the game by the wide receivers. If you allow these offensive linemen to get in a stance and use Matt Forte and the power back he has the ability to be, you're going to dictate the line of scrimmage. It's not about who's coming here. Mm-hmm. It's about the offensive line running to the line of scrimmage and doing what they're told.
It's time to decide on our player of the game, brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Looking back to the Saints game, obviously the result not what the Bears were looking for, but Matt Forte, 21 carries for 78 yards. Alshon, 78 yards receiving with that touchdown. Pat O'Donnell had a nice game punting, and Christian Jones with a team-high 13 tackles. Got any thoughts on maybe a special teams guy? I'm thinking a special teams guy might be sticking with a special teams guy.
I was pretty excited about, you know, it's one of the things that goes unnoticed, but Pat O'Donnell had a heck of a football game. He was pinning those guys. He gave them no chances for returns. I was pretty hyped up. He's a pretty mellow guy, and I was pretty hyped up on him, on the sidelines. So I might have to go with Pat in this one.
Okay, do we have a split vote here, Tommy?
Well, you know, one thing about Pat is they had him do the kickoff duties early in the game, and sometimes kicker or punters, they have a fragile enough way about their game that when you tell them to do something else, maybe that is a little difficult. But, you know, for Christian Jones, whenever I see an undrafted free agent go out there and try to capitalize on an opportunity given to him, I want to see what he's able to do this week and next week. So I will go for Christian Jones.
All right, so we have to have a vote here. Maybe we should do it by applause.
It's Mark.
It's always
it's
the
his
guest.
Decision.
No,
his
it's always
decision.
The guest.
Yeah.
Okay, congrats. You can go congratulate Pat then in the locker room
what's
tomorrow.
What's funny is that you hit it right on the head. When he had that kickoff, it was kind of a squirrely knuckleball. He kind of missed it, but then it rolled back through the end zone for a touchback. And so I was the first one over there to, you know, poke at him a little bit about his kick. And, it, you know, the line was, you know, it's a touchback. What do you want me to, you know, like that's the result I was looking for.
Can you kick or punt?
No, that is not
really?
My forte.
Right.
No,
I thought you'd be like a, you know, pass punt.
Jack
kick.
Of all
no.
trades.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe put me behind center. I'll freaking chuck it up once or twice, but that's about all I got.
All right. We promised we were going to go in the Wayback Machine for Mark. We're going to do that after we take this time out. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall on 670 The Score with our friends from the University of Phoenix. We'll be right back. This segment of Bears All Access is brought to you by H.H. Gregg. Appliances, electronics, furniture, and we are back live from our Chicago Bears Network studios in front of our audience from the University of Phoenix. It was autograph time during break. The folks lining up to get Mark's and Tom's autograph. Mark Mariani, the Bears punt returner, kick returner, joining us here on Bears All Access. So high school, 10 letters. Is that what I read correctly? 10 letters in three different sports?
Yeah, that's – where'd you dig that up at? Yeah, that's small town Montana.
For Wikipedia.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, there you go.
So it was football, basketball, and tennis?
Yes, sir. I was I like to joke that growing up in Montana, you know, small town Montana too, we don't have a lot going on, so I didn't have any choice. I just had to play every sport I could, you know, get my hands on. So those are the ones I played in high school.
How many letters did you get to Joliet Catholic there, Tom? What else did you play besides football?
Just wrestling and wrestling and football.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's kind of the life of offensive linemen. Is they're gonna wrestle, or if they're tall enough, they'll play on the basketball team.
And catch on the baseball team. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those. So do you still play ball or play tennis or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know, in the off season, I try not to hurt myself too much, but I get out there and mix it up, and the wifey just picked up tennis, so she's making me get back into it. But yeah, man, I stay real active in the off season, you know, other than football. So
was there a lot of tennis during the downtime, or were you waiting for that call from the Bears eventually?
There was a little tennis. I'd say more golf, but there's a little tennis in there with her. But yeah, I'm super competitive though, so don't ask me to do anything unless you want like a full, you know, all out heated type deal.
You think you could return a serve right now of Andre Agassi?
Well, for the fun of it, I'd like to give it my best shot. Right. But you know, and there was a time in my life where I was pretty decent at it. But you know, I'd give it my best. I think I'd do all right. I might be able to chip it back to him.
Now, the town you grew up in, Montana, it is spelled it's spelled exactly like Favre, except for an H instead of the F.
Is it
pronounced Harv?
It's actually Haver.
Oh,
okay. It's Haver. Yeah.
See, that's how Brett should have been pronounced
that's
in
right.
his name. So
yeah.
So what are the hot spots in Haver?
Oh my goodness! There are few and far between. We have.
That's why you lettered in basketball. Yeah,
it's small town. It's up in the middle of nowhere. It's darn near Canada, and then right in the center of the state. But phenomenal fishing and hunting and you know, outdoor stuff, and you just learn to be good buddies with the people around you, and you grow up, you know, with a slow-paced lifestyle, and then when the real world comes and smacks you in the face, you're not really ready
a
for it.
A horse or a bike?
Well, I was a bike, but there were plenty of guys with horses, so.
So, yeah, and you ended up going to University of Montana. Were there any other offers as you were getting all those letters in those three sports, or
all,
no?
All those letters. I was a walk-on at the University of Montana.
Were you really?
So I was,
you had some recognition in high school.
I was the guy they left behind, man. I, that story is kind of funny, but I in Montana, we don't have a pro sports team, and we don't have one, you know, very close for that matter. Seattle and Denver is as close as they get. So the University of Montana is the big deal. So that was my dream. That was my dream place, and they turned me down and slammed the door on me. And so I came in there a little hot, a little chip on my shoulder, and I was actually non-preferred guy. So I I came in, yeah, way late, but it really helped me. I don't know if I'd be here sitting with you guys today if that wasn't the case, just because I was not a likable guy that first semester. I was pretty fiery, I would say.
So you started out a grizzly, and now you're a bear.
It is ironic, and I was number 80 in college too. So when I walked in, and Tony gave me that that number 80, I kind of like my jaw dropped a little bit. I wasn't really expecting it, and it's been my go-to. So it feels good to be back in the 80.
What's your goal, and what's your window? How long would you do you want to give this a go, and what is your goal for the NFL?
Oh man, that's a hard question. I'm a receiver by trade, right. And I want to catch balls. I mean, we haven't talked about it yet, but two years ago, you know, I broke my leg in half, and that season I was really, you know, I had spent 2 years at returner, and I was getting those receiver reps that I'd been working so hard for, and getting thrown in the slot and all that stuff, and working my way up the ladder, and then it all came down, and I would like to get back there. Mm-hmm. I would like to get back on the offensive side. You know, that just comes, you know, with time. I'm not saying I'm going to be starting this week or anything. I'm just saying, during the off season, you know, getting in, you know, it all starts in OTAs and learning the offense and that kind of stuff. And but you know, I love returning. There's nothing more intense to me than standing under a punt, you know, with guys firing down at you. So I love that very much. You know, but you know, personal goals of mine would be to get out there and catch some passes and to make some plays.
Has Devin Hester added profile to the job here?
it is a little bit of, you know, a pressure situation, but I was telling a reporter this the other day, he gave us all, you know, he put the pressure on all of us, you know, from here, even when I was in Tennessee. He was always the guy we were trying to catch. So, you know, I'm wearing the same uniform now, but he's always the guy that, for me, set the bar for a return man. I've seen him, you know, I've studied him, I've seen him up close. I'm wearing the same uniform now, but, you know, if I could put up anywhere near those kind of numbers, it'll be a good thing. But he's one of the greatest of all time. But I don't take it as I'm not trying to fill his shoes. I'm not trying to, you know, replicate that guy. There's no possible way. But I'll do the best impression I got for you.
You, we were talking about you coming up through Montana. There's some other guys in the league.
Oh yeah, we're a factory. We're a factory up there. Yeah, we're turning.
Go ahead, name some of them.
Throw them out. Hey man, I got all my buddies, man. Colt Anderson and Chase Reynolds and Tremaine Johnson, Dan Carpenter in Buffalo.
Okay, nice.
I know I'm missing some buddies.
Who did you idolize football wise growing up?
I can't say that on live radio right now. I don't think because I'm in the wrong colors.
Come on,
is this a hostile crowd here?
Jordy Nelson?
No, yeah, Steve Largent. I was a Brett Favre fan growing up, and my mom was born and raised in Wisconsin, so it was in my blood a little bit, but and I just kind of caught on. So he was kind of my guy through my early years.
All you got here were some head shaking. That's all. Nothing more than that.
Trust me.
Are you okay? Can we forget him? At least this guy for that. Are we okay
with
that?
They're all done with me. They want to see me gone. No, I've been a little nervous about that. So, but
all right, true confessions here.
That's right.
Bears all access, and we will get. Mark referenced some of the injury problems that he's had to go through, and boy, what a dinner time story this will be. We'll touch on that when we come back as we take a break. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuff Pizza for providing dinner. Stop by one of their 44 Chicagoland locations for Chicago's favorite stuffed pizza, or visit Giordano's.com to order now. Along with Bears kick returner, punt returner, Mark Mariani and Tom Thayer, I'm Chris Bowden filling in tonight for Zach Zabeman on Bears All Access. So you got drafted in the seventh round
in
2010.
Yep.
Tennessee finally makes the call.
That's right.
Sweet. Now, did you kind of a tie-in there with Jeff Fisher, the Titans being head coach? You were buddies with his son?
That's right. Brandon, his son, was the same age as me, came to Montana. He's a redneck hillbilly, super outdoor guy. I mean, he is the epitome.
So is Jeff.
Yeah, he's the epitome of, I mean, I got some story. He's just wild. But so
did he play football or no?
Yes. Okay. So he came up to play, but I think he chose Montana because of the outdoor stuff. We became pretty good buddies. I had met Coach Fisher a couple times, a couple handshakes here and there, but there was no real relationship there. I would say that got me a little exposure, if anything, to his eyes. And then, so when they actually, what's a funny story real quick is Brandon was in the draft room that day, and he called me to tell me that I was getting drafted by the Titans. So that was kind of one little perk of his old
man. So
you
had to act surprised when the call came?
No, actually, I thought he was messing with me because I've talked to him like 5 minutes prior, and I told him I was just sweating bullets because it's the end of the seventh round, and you know, you get phone calls, you know, kind of one after the other about free agency and kind of starting talking to that whole game. So he calls me and I'm just like, dude, I'm stressing out bad right now. And so then when he called me back, he said, the wait's over, you know, whatever he said. And I had some choice words for him on speaker in the draft room in front of the whole room. And I'm like, that's a great first impression there, guys.
Well,
jeez.
Number one, have you ever seen Jeff Fisher return a punt? And number two,
old films,
right? If you could have, if you wouldn't have got drafted, where would have been your first free agent choice destination?
Wow, that's a really good question. That year, I think I had, because we put together all that stuff. I think I had Dallas at the top of the list, and I think they called late in the seventh round. I think they were actually a couple picks behind the Titans, and then probably the Colts. The Colts were up there, too. I remember that year.
I thought you were going to say wherever Brett Favre was at the time.
But he was right. We couldn't keep track of it, or else I would have tried. But then, no, I've seen highlights of Coach Fish, and he's...
He was
good.
He's
a stud, man. Yeah.
He was. He was gutsy, especially at that time when there was a little bit more, less protectiveness around for the returners and stuff.
I heard, and this may be false, but I heard that he was had all the return records before Devin came.
Right.
And so
he was good.
Man. So that, I guess that's – I got to get there first, and then I'll see if I can take
over. Well, it's neat for him to appreciate the talent that you have because he's lived through it, and he knows the difficulty of it and sometimes the pressure that you're under when you have the conditions that you can have in Soldier Field.
Well, and you know, that being said, once I got to Tennessee, he was extremely – you know, it wasn't my job. They had drafted a guy in front of me to do that job. It's not like, you know, so that preseason we kind of, you know, had that competition. But once it was my job, he was extremely influential in helping me with everything. I mean, he was one of the best coaches, not just head guy, but, you know, as far as the, you know, ins and outs of the return game that I've ever had.
So you show up as a rookie, and all you do in your rookie year is make the Pro Bowl. As a punt returner and kick returner, you set franchise records. So at this point, did it seem like it was coming easy to you?
I was like, this game is so easy. I don't know what these guys are talking about. This is like, you know, no, that was, I mean, honestly, it was so much more. We were talking about, you know, kind of goals and dreams and stuff. And I dreamt of playing in the NFL. You know, I dreamt of, you know, being a professional, but I really honestly didn't ever dream that high. It wasn't on my radar really. And toward the end of that year, there was kind of, you know, some whispers and stuff, and man, it was just so much of a blessing. I can't even, it was, you know, it's hard to put into words because it was just such an honor to have, you know, made it and then go out there and to spend a week with, you know, the best in the world. And man, it was crazy. And I was just a young, wide-eyed little punk from Montana. didn't have a clue in the world. And, you know, it was just like, wow, this is pretty phenomenal.
Did you think the physical attachment to your responsibilities were overwhelming? Or did you say, wow, I can get through this. It's not as bad as, you know, before you get to the NFL, you have these, you know, these dreams, these fantasy dreams of going, wow, these guys are going to be bigger than life itself. But when you had the seasons and you had, you knew the physical part of it, were you okay with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the one thing he's always talked about is the speed of the game, you know, and I think that that changes at every, you know, preseason to regular season and then, you know, whatever. But I it was one of those things, I think, that once, you know, I went out there and shook off the nerves and kind of like got a couple returns under my belt. I don't know when it was. I can't think of like a, you know, light on moment, but I was like, man, I can do this. I can return punts and return kicks at this level, and I can play with these guys. Doesn't matter what school they came from. And, you know, once that clicked in my mind and I got a little confidence and everything, it just kind of, you know, especially that year, things really just sped up and kind of went to the stars, I guess.
Yeah. Did you have your Chris Farley, Paul McCartney moment when you were in the league of being in awe of somebody either across the field or some guy might be bearing down on you?
Well, you know, I've made Come On Man like three times in my career for just dumb stuff, you know, just getting just smoked by a kicker or one time I booted. I've had some plays that I was just like, wow, you know, just I'd rather forget. But, you know, I think I have a good couple Peyton Manning memories that he's been good to me along the way. And especially out in Hawaii that week, he was pretty cool to me and my family. And it was those kind of things are priceless to me.
All right, time for another break here on Bears All Access. When we come back, we will get to the couple of bumps in the road that Mark experienced on his way here to Chicago. And we also want you to watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall on 670 The Score with our buddies from the University of Phoenix. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network studios in front of our audience from the University of Phoenix. We thank you folks for joining us here tonight at Halas Hall. Alongside Mark Mariani of the Bears, Tom Thayer from the booth, I'm Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zaidman. So, all right, let's get to the painful part of the career. A couple years ago, after you make the Pro Bowl, your rookie season, have a good season, I think in 2011 as well, following up on that, comes the preseason game in 2012. I don't know if anybody wants to YouTube it or not, and I don't know if you want to even encourage that, but it was one of the uglier injuries you will ever see in Mark breaking his leg on one of those returns. I don't know if I want to ask you to share what you can, but what do you remember? Was it an in-shock moment when it happened? And then take us along the journey and the mindset of coming back here.
Yeah, no, I'm not one that has any problems, you know, talking about or anything. It happened, and, you know, obviously it was an unlucky deal. But, yeah, so third preseason game, Arizona Cardinals, just returning a punt like I've done so many times, and just kind of left it outside my frame and got stepped on or pinned and then tackled in the other direction. So, Did the whole compound tib fib, you know, bones out of the skin, a little bit of everything actually, and it was tough. It was really tough. And you know that night or that, you know, when it happened, I didn't even know. I didn't even really know it happened. And then everyone was just yelling for the trainers, you know. And I was like, something ain't right. So I looked down and I saw it. And when I saw it is when I kind of lost it a little bit. I was
understandably.
Yeah. So that was more of the shock, but. But yeah, that started a fairly lengthy uphill battle for me. So yeah, we went straight to emergency surgery, and then that was a Thursday night game. But I got the rod and the plate and the screws and everything, and I was rehabbing on Monday. So I start, you know, I took Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, and I was in the training room Monday and trying to get right.
Had you ever seen, I mean, there's the Theismann play back in the day and things like that. Had you ever seen anything like that previously? And then you have the thought, oh my God, this has happened to me now too.
Well, you know, there were some, you know, there were some positives. I the way I got hit, you know, and the way my leg was pinned, something was going down, whether it was my ankle blowing up or my knee. And I've been, you know, I count it as a blessing that it was, you know, kind of just the bones, you know, it was a you know, pretty fixable deal. And I've been given the opportunity to continue my career. It's funny you said, you know, about Joe, he reached out to me right after, and we've become buddies now.
Really?
In this awesome club of this Tib Fib deal. And
welcome.
You don't want to be in the club, let me tell you. You don't want to be in this club.
It's a heavy price to pay.
But there are a few of us in it, and he was a resource for me along the way. An awesome dude. And but yeah, it was pretty traumatic, and like I said, just started a battle.
But what, you know, I think it's an important message because there are young kids that listen and there are young kids that suffer an injury early in their career. First of all, how did you convince yourself mentally that you could overcome it? And when did you set your sights physically that you knew what the demands were to make sure that you could be considered a world-class athlete again? Because it disappoints me when someone young does suffer a setback, you do have to be able to overcome it. And you're probably a stronger player now because of it.
There's no doubt. The mental aspect of it was absolutely exhausting because you go in to a situation like that. I started rehab on Monday. And you have to retrain yourself to do the just smallest things. And it's a daily grind. And the way I kind of just did it, I had a great support system, you know, with me, with my family and my friends, but then, you know, the trainers and the PT guys that helped me along the way. But you just set small goals, man. I just set small goals. I knew it was going to be a long battle. I knew that it was going to be tough. And there were setbacks along the way with that, too. I mean, I had to go in and get it cleaned up a couple more times. And so that part wasn't easy, but I just set small goals. Every Monday we had a test day, and I just tried to get better every time and graduate from, you know, marbles to towels to this and that. And, you know, it was a long process. It's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating process. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm better for it. I've learned to, you know, not be afraid of adversity and just kind of accept it and battle through it.
What was the marble exercise? What was that about?
Hundreds of marbles in this stupid little bin, and they just dump them out, and I'd sit there on a chair, and I'd have to pick every one of them up with my foot.
Grabbing them with your toes.
Yeah, one after the other, and it's just...
I thought you meant you were playing marbles in the game or something like that.
It is just a dry, dull way of learning how to do whatever. It is very... it's very tedious and very frustrating.
So the rod is still in there? Any other hardware?
I have 13 or 14 screws and a plate on the fibula. So it's fully metal now.
That's a
now.
Waiver getting through security at the airport and everything.
I haven't had any issues, and I've often thought about that. Is like, what? Okay, so if I could just, if I'm going through with all that metal in me, you know, what else is going on back here? But it hasn't been too much of an issue. I've had some things, you know, from that moment till now, you know, that have kind of helped in the process, you know, and getting back on the field. But it was just it was a huge challenge for me and a crazy journey.
And you were ready by training camp the next year to go, and then on top of that, you suffered a shoulder injury too. Was that in preseason too?
Yeah, that was, you know, that's I had a bad luck deal, bad timing. I needed more work on the leg though. I tried to battle back and I tried to get ready, you know, in the right amount of time. But I went into that training camp fighting a little bit. You know, it was a struggle for me. Then I chipped up my shoulder right at the end of the preseason, and it just wasn't healthy going into week one. So they IR'd me again. And man, that training room's a brutal place. You need it, but I just hate walking in there. I almost have a phobia of it. So I try to keep myself in tip-top shape so I can avoid that place.
Well, congratulations on staying out of it here so far. We hope that continues for you. Exactly. Time for another break here. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halisall on 670 The Score. We're back to wrap up All Access after this timeout. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Our audience is from the University of Phoenix. Our guest is kick returner and punt returner. Yes, give yourself some applause. Mark Mariani, Tom Thayer, and Chris Bowden heading down the home stretch here of Bears All Access. So you referred to this a little bit earlier. There has to be a certain crazy factor, I think, in order to be a returner. And Yeah, the quote I love from you when you first came here, standing under a punt is the greatest feeling in the world.
Well, I like to say, I think it might be in there too, I think I got a couple screws loose because I've had...
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we don't need to be messing with screws. But I have had... I've been hit before. It hurts sometimes to be that guy, but like I said, I love it, man. There's something about it. I'm going to have a really hard time replacing that intensity when I'm done playing this game. So,
our hypothetical, say you have 8 returns a game, and it's sometimes more, sometimes less. How many times are you in control of the final moment, the collision, the whistle?
You know, it's funny because you learn as you have taken those hits and everything, you learn how to avoid those big ones. You know, you learn how to avoid the ones that hurt real bad. But I sometimes get pinballed a little bit and stood up. But I like to make sure that I'm finishing the runs and doing it. But you definitely get some shots. I heard a funny interview from Jerome Bettis one time that he said he learned how to fall down because when he was a rookie, he didn't know how to fall and he couldn't get out of the training room. And then he learned how to fall down to where he wouldn't hurt himself. I think that's a little bit of it. You kind of twist a little and give a little extra or something so you don't get, you know, those big shots. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say I've definitely gotten my fair share of hits.
How long did it take you to get back into that greatest feeling in the world mindset coming off what you came off of, the injury?
That was a good question because I spent I had my 2 years in the beginning, but then I hadn't played in a regular season game in a long time. I played through both preseasons, but when Joe D called, it was like, all right, you're returning on Sunday. And I'm like, well, here we go, man. Let's do this. But it definitely felt good to get out there and get hit again and get that speed back, the speed of the game. And, I think the rust, shook off real, real quick. And I just feel comfortable, riding a bike is not the right word, but I just, it's something I comes natural to me. And I don't know how I learned it, but I feel good. Good back there.
Next year, you're the number one returner on kickoff and punts in Soldier Field. Because of the reputation Soldier Field has around.
Congratulations, you have that job now, by the way.
Right.
I'm
turning into a weapon for you because I think there is a reputation around the league of Soldier Field as one of the most difficult areas to return. If you do it so well because you're familiar with the surrounding conditions, it is difficult for these guys coming in that they're not confident in their footing. They don't know the flight of the ball because there is difficult winds inside Soldier Field.
Yeah, if you're unsure about your ball catching skills as a punt returner, this really compounds it. This stadium, where it's located and everything, is intimidating. And I love it. I enjoy the challenge. I pride myself on doing those little things. Making the fair catches when they need to. Not letting the ball hit the ground. Making the right decisions. And it's definitely difficult. And I hope I can use that to my advantage because that's one of my strengths.
You know what? It did seem like at the end of the second half, I think, of the New Orleans game, because of the wind direction, you knew that you were going to be able to return every kick. And it kind of has a different frame of mind for all the returners knowing, look, there is no instant of hesitation. Everything is full go.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you're returning kicks and you're against a guy like, Thomas Morstead, who was the kicker for the Saints this past weekend, and he's hitting, 90% touchbacks indoors, and then he comes out into Soldier Field and can't get one touchback, that really shows you what kind of, atmosphere we're playing in. And you're right, it takes the decision making out of it for me, which is awesome.
Right.
And then we're just going full speed knowing that we're going to get a chance to make plays. And honestly, we have a ragtag group of guys thrown together, an awesome locker room, but special teams has kind of been pieced together, and we're trying to figure it out. But honestly, I feel like every time we touch the ball, we're going to break something and make a big play. So that's what we're looking for.
Got a little bit about a minute left, and I wanted to ask you about that. It's a very inexperienced special teams group, but it's been a bumpy ride at times this year on just about all the units, save for maybe kickoff coverage, which is among the top in the league. But how is that comfort level now compared to when you came in a month ago, and you sense some of these young guys are getting the hang of it?
Yeah, I think it gets better every week, and there's no substitute for experience, and the more these guys play and the more we play together, it's really benefited us. And, to be honest, I don't know what the results look like or where we're ranked, but Joe D is one of the best coaches I've ever been around at any position in my life, and it has been frustrating at times, even in these last 4 weeks, but we're trying to figure it out, and we got young guys that are out there flying around making plays. So like I said, I'm more than excited about our unit going forward, and I really do think we're going to make some plays, you know, before it's all said and done here.
We'll bring one back Sunday, okay?
Done.
All right, you heard it there.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us. That's Mark Mariani, the Bears kickoff returner and punt returner right now. We also want to thank him as well as Tom Thayer, the Super Bowl winning Bear on News Radio 780 and WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9. And yes, thanks to the folks from University of Phoenix joining us here. This has been Bears All Access from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall. Thanks as well to our engineers, Paul Zerang, Herb Lawrence, as well as our executive producer, Greg Miller. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.